from Cape Town, this is the voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM.
Sunday Live on 91.3 FM Stereo. Sunday Live.
23 after 7, according to reports, the Higher Education Minister had a cut-off time of 5 p.m. on Friday to report back to student organizations such as the South African Union of Students, or SAUS, regarding a list of grievances over university fees. This comes after mass protests at Wits University and other universities across the country about the status of higher education in South Africa. Joining us online is Ishmael Minisi, media liaison officer and spokesperson for the Minister of Higher Education, Science and Innovation, unpacking this discussion. Ishmael, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for your time. Now, kindly tell us a little bit about some of the demands that were proposed by student organizations in the past week. We've seen a lot of activity coming from students at different university campuses, and there were demands put before Minister. What are some of these, and what are some of the reactions or responses that were provided in response to these?
Well, in the main, the students are demanding that the returning students who owe the universities must be given an opportunity to register regardless of the amount that they owe the universities.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, they demand that they should be given all universities should give the students accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
And also the N+2 rule, mm-hmm. which basically relates to the criteria that we use when we offer students bursaries, that we give them an opportunity for them to fail once.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when they do a three-year degree, they can remain or stay funded for 4 years. And now they demand that we should give them more opportunities. In other words, that if they do a three-year degree, we allow them to fail 2 times. If they do a four-year degree, we allow them to fail 2 times. It means now they'll stay in an institution for 5 years, and they still have access to funding. Now, these are amongst the demands that the students are having.
Wonderful. Now, these are demands that have not just been made for 2021. I mean, if you look at the Fees Must Fall protest quite a few years ago, we're pretty much the same demands put forward. And it seems like, you know, year in, year out, it's the same call by students across university campuses. What is the minister's proposition or response to these demands?
Well, firstly, let me indicate that there is a meeting which started yesterday with the students, and we are still in discussion with the students because they feel that our responses are not adequate because they do not address all the issues that they are raising. So we are discussing an issue currently which is still under discussion and review in these meetings. So I just need to make that notice that we should understand that we are in that situation.
Sure.
However, mm-hmm. what we can indicate is that you are very correct. These demands are not new.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something that has been done year in, year out in addressing that. For an example, let's start with the issue of the N+ mm-hmm. 2 rule.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, in 2020, we made a proposition that, firstly, we said the rules won't be changed because they do have an implication into the entire system of education in South Africa. And they would affect the first-year entrance students if we are not handling issues very well. And that, as a sector, we are scrambling for resources with other societal needs, such as health, social development issues, sanitation and water, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the budgets that we are talking about ought to cater for societal needs apart from education. So as we make demands, we ought to understand how the government system works mm-hmm. and where we ultimately get funding mm-hmm. to sustain the very same system that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And that is the premise that we started with. And we then said, look, we are going to look at the appeals of the students that felt that they might have been not ignored when they've made the appeals on the N-plus rule. Mm-hmm. And we therefore discovered that at the inset of the application of the rule, they are students who, you know, were registered mm-hmm. before the 2018 cutoff date. Now, the cutoff date in this instance means when the rules came into effect, mm-hmm. when the NSFAS was changed into a buzzery. So they came at a time when NSFAS was alone. Mm-hmm. Now, the cutoff date affected them. So the cooling off period mm-hmm. affected them, and therefore their years were, you know, reduced. And we then said, let's give them an additional year for them to complete their studies.
Right, right. You
know, just to make sure that there is no student who is unfairly mm-hmm. Excluded. And indeed, we did that last year.
Sure. Ishmael, just my final thought, my final question for you is, with regards to the actual funding itself, now, when the Minister of Finance sets out his budget for different departments and different, we know that, you know, state-owned enterprises has a very close link to receiving financial gain, and people are always asking, how come is it that SAA is getting bailed out all the time for 10 billion amount or more at every given juncture, but it seems that funding is still an issue for the Minister or for the Department of Education. Rather, so when the Department of Education make these requests for extra funding, what is the response or the consensus from national government?
Well, the all departments makes budgets, and they are taken to cabinet ultimately, well, through the Department of Finance, mm-hmm. where appropriations are made. Mm-hmm. We must acknowledge that there has been over the past years, a funding deficit in all the government departments. And when we make the demands, others are met, others are not met. And this is the reason why almost every year we are able to fund more students who request funding from us. The grants that we give universities increases almost every year. Research money that we give students when they do research work increases every year, and the number of items, including those that affect the training of the very same students and lecturers, it does increase. However, because of the inflation targeting issues, we've always been, you know, not getting more than what we would expect as, mm-hmm. as a department.
Wonderful.
Now, we can't therefore be saying that other sectors within the economy of South Africa, which are very critical, must not be funded and only one must be. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the existence of those sectors becomes endangered. Now, we understand it in that context, and the reasons that comes from Treasury is in that regard.
Sure.
That there must be equilibrium. And also, when the president gives us a State of the Nation address, we know that every year he prioritizes certain aspects. And we have been amongst those that have been prioritized. And that's why our budget is amongst the biggest budget in the country.
Sure.
As the Department of Higher Education and Training. You know that the department is divided into four. Firstly, we are funding universities. We are funding TVET colleges.
Mm-hmm.
We are funding CETAs, and we are funding what we call the CETs, mm-hmm. the Community Education and Training Colleges.
Sure.
Now, those four subsects of the departments get funding, not only university students now, even in our appropriation, which is something that has been happening for many years, prioritization has been on universities. And the other subsectors have suffered. And now we say we need to reverse the situation and balance the equilibrium, meaning TVET students, college students, also must be prioritized for funding and also the development of the TVET sector, because it is important that South Africa must improve its own vocational skills. Now, we therefore cannot be able to take all the budgets that we have, which almost currently 60% goes to only 26 universities.
Mm.
And whereas we've got more than 50 TVET colleges, and we therefore had to include the TVET college students into the funding, which they were not getting it before.
Sure.
So in other words, the funding that will therefore go to university students will now have to be spread across the system, with TVET college students also getting funding.
Yeah.
We now, I said, we've got the CETAs, where we're training, young people. They got, they have to be trained. We need to pay their stipends when they go to their employers to work for a particular period of time. We therefore must make sure that there is money to pay the students who are going to work. Now, the cake, of course, would not be enough for everyone.
Yeah.
But the view is that we need at least to try to cover everybody, not only 26 universities, because the majority of South African youth are spread across these four sectors. And again, there are those young people who are not within the education and training system at all. These four sectors that I'm talking about.
Well, Ishmael, sorry about that. Maybe just have another guest with us. But thank you for giving us that insight about spreading the cake evenly for all universities. We really appreciate your time this morning. Have a lovely one.
My pleasure.
Ishmael Manisi, Media Liaison Officer, Spokesperson for the Minister of Higher Education. Well, we now welcome with us another guest that we have, you know, with regards to speaking about a higher education. That is Professor Ruan Maman, Deputy Dean for Research at the Faculty of Education. Prof, good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, and good morning to your listeners.
Well, Prof, I mean, the concept of historical debt and financial exclusion has been an ongoing discussion for years, in fact, and it's something that, you know, triggers perhaps past injustices and perhaps future inequities in our social, in our socioeconomic system. But be that as it may, UWC took a decision this year or some time ago, in fact, of scrapping away the application fee, and then obviously one of the first institutions, if I recall correctly, to allow students to register without having, you know, the bane of this historic debt behind them. Is it something that, you know, something you'll have collectively come to the party to help students with, and that is the reason for such?
Yes, before I go to the UWC example, can I just say that it is interesting that the Department of Higher Education and Training is claiming that we are suddenly now faced over the last four or five years with this issue of, of funding students. Unfortunately, we must accept that we haven't done well over the last 20 years or so to structure basic education and higher education with its different sectors to fit our societal needs. It must be a model and a system that fits what South Africa, you know, brings to the party.
Sure.
So for example, we know that we have the historical injustices pre-1994.
Sure.
We've set up a system post-1994 that doesn't really fit the South African societal need. And that is the issue. We have to go back to the drawing board to say, if we have such a number of learners being born or and then entering the system at a particular point of time, let's say 12 years ago, right? Let's work with the 12-year school cycle to start with, right? Where are they going to be when they need to go to high school, out of primary school? Where are they going to be when they, as a cohort, when they go into the FET school phase, right? Where are they going to be post grade 12, post-matric? And we have to therefore structure all our sectors according to that. We can't be now surprised by the growth in university numbers, the growth in TVET college students, etc., and other colleges. You know, we are not planning properly. That's number one. And that is very clear over the last few years that we haven't planned for this.
Yes.
Now we are claiming we are overwhelmed. That's the one. The other one is the fact that government is just not prioritizing education the way they should be. They are telling us for a few years now that the cake is only so big. We accept that, right? But then you can't prioritize a white elephant across the economic sector and across the public sector. You can't do that. If we know that education is going to be our focus point and priority in our country, then we have to say, SAA, you have to wait. You know, it is more important for us to get the youth through the different sectors and through the different training and education and training sectors and cover them so that they can participate meaningfully in the economy.
That's just
things that we have to accept. We haven't done that, and it is high time that we start that. But let me quickly go to the UWC example. You know, the University of the Western Cape has had the historical tradition, right, to fight for the underdog in the South African community. We all know that. And UWC has kept with it in different ways, despite all the struggles, despite limited funding because of who the university was pre-1994.
Sure.
Right? And all those kinds of things. But it's important that all universities take note of that. A university is not anymore a place for the elite. The university is there to serve everybody in the community. And therefore, you have to be agile and you have to adapt to the circumstances that face you. And especially, you have to be in touch with the conditions and circumstances and backgrounds of the students at your university. So I made the example the other day that it doesn't make sense that one university charges 50% and 60% more than another university for the same course.
Sure. Absolutely.
So those are all kinds of things that the Department of Higher Education and Training is not focusing on, you know, some regularization of the system. At the end of the day, it is South African. Whether you are a South African student at UWC, whether you are a South African student at UCT or at VIT.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Prof. I think that's the, you are a South African student and the funding structures ought to be the same regardless of university ranking in the world, and based on that, you use that to leverage a higher fee structure. It's not justified. I fully agree with you on that one. But looking at this model for sustainability, and I'm sure students reach out all too often, you know, being excluded and having to do that walk of embarrassment because of not being able to afford fees. Well, when we look at the model, what would you think would be a viable means for the department to look at in sharing that cake? What model is most profound in bringing students to where they where they would like to be?
Yes, you have to start. You have to start at the beginning. Each department, the government must decide that this is a priority.
Sure,
the government must decide first and foremost that this is one of their top priorities. How to get the youth of South Africa, our children and our youth, right, educated and trained to participate meaningfully in the economy. If they decide that and they are serious with it, then all of them won't have a problem where one department have to jockey against the other department for a bigger slice of the cake. So that's a fundamental issue. But let's go to the model.
Yes.
Right? So the National Student Financial Aid Fund, right? The NSFAS Fund.
Yes.
That act was promulgated in 1999.
Sure.
And that is still the same act. Now, I'm asking the question, right, how can that still be relevant 20 years after 1999? Life and society has changed a lot since then. Number one, the one thing that has changed is the number of learners that qualifies for higher education and training, right? And just the sheer number has changed dramatically from 1999. It's the world, if you want to compare it.
Yes.
So that's number one. So it is high time where we have to revisit that act of 1999 and see what should be the strategic connection mm-hmm. with the society. What's the need? Because I suspect it was promulgated in a time where we had a particular setup in society, and mm-hmm. that has changed.
Absolutely.
Right? Furthermore, in terms of the funding model of universities in general, this is a general funding model. This is not the NS path, right?
Right.
The general funding model, each institution set up an enrollment plan for their students, right? Mm-hmm. That enrollment plan, they take it to government. Government accept it, if it's okay, right? With mm-hmm. particular targets in certain areas that needs to be developed, etc. Then you get what they call the teaching input unit mm-hmm. per year. And that is what the universities then get, right, from government. So, for example, if you graduate with a BA degree, then you are funded. Then the university is funded so much. If you graduate with a BSc degree, the science one, you are funded so much. So that model is fine in mm-hmm. principle. But the challenge with that model is, right, and that is where things get interesting,
mm-hmm.
is that to create scientists and to create and to produce, in inverted commas, teachers, right, to serve in our schools, to create and to produce artists, mm-hmm. etc., right? Education must be high up in that priority list, mm-hmm. in that funding model, right? Mm-hmm. So what they do, they fund according to certain priority areas. They weight the different funding areas. So, for example, economics, EMS, right? Economic mm-hmm. and Management Sciences.
Yes.
In this model, will be funded more than education. Science will be funded more than education.
Mm-hmm.
So what that does is that universities are not going to take in a lot of education students. Do you get me?
Mm-hmm.
Because they are going to get more money for their sustainability if they take in more science students.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is high time now. Now, education has been, I think there are five or six such funding areas in this mm-hmm. model. I think it is high time now for education to move up in that funding model, because we need lecturers. We don't have enough lecturers even to serve our universities.
Sure.
We need TVET college lecturers.
Mm-hmm.
We need
mm-hmm.
lecturers at other colleges.
Yes.
You know, we are not producing them.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if a student now comes into the higher education system and they now want to choose a particular area to study in, they find that there's a struggle in that particular area.
Mm, absolutely.
Now I'm using this. I'm now going. I'll get to the sliding scale just now.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other ideas. I'm using this example to demonstrate the misarticulation that we find in our basic education system and our higher education system and the connection with government.
Mm-hmm.
There's a misarticulation in my view. Those things must be sorted in order for the system to flow,
mm-hmm.
so that the learner, when you enter school, you move seamlessly to the area you want to study in, and there's enough resources in those particular areas. So, for example, we are saying we need more artisans, we are saying we need more plumbers, etc., but our TVET sector and our colleges are not geared for that.
Mm.
We can't accommodate so many students in those areas. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, let me get to the issue of the funding scale.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, if you can get back to NSFAS, currently we have the 125,000 income cut-off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So students who fall into that category, they get NSFAS support, and they are funded almost 100%.
Yes.
It's a good thing, mm-hmm. right? But what about the students in their household who earn 130,000 rand,
mm-hmm.
just a mere 5,000 rand more? They are still as poor.
Correct.
As a student falling in category one. Can you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So what we are saying is this funding model needs to be based on a sliding scale.
Mm-hmm.
And this sliding scale must be based on the taxable income of the household.
Sure.
And that can be an interim measure. I'm not saying that's going to be the perfect solution.
Mm-hmm.
But that can be an interim measure to accommodate more students according to the income of that household.
Absolutely.
Because they talk about this missing middle, remember.
Mm.
And those students, that group of students, that category of students, they are also growing year on year.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So yes, it calls for a revisit. It is disingenuous from the department and the Minister of Higher Education just to come and respond to the students' protest. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is actually unacceptable. We are playing here with the futures and the lives of these youngsters.
Sure, absolutely. Prof, well, I definitely appreciate your insights. I like very much the thought about the sliding scale, you know, financially. Especially, I mean, the rigid cut points really doesn't allow for the missing middle. And especially with the COVID-19 pandemic, the missing middle tends to be a little bit more broader, you know, creating a greater standard deviation. But that's where we have to leave it, Prof. Thank you so very much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Have a nice day.
You too. Take care, Prof. Professor Marmon from UWC. Well, we are running a little bit late into our next dialogue, our next interview. But yes, let's head away. We'll be back in a few.